Hey everybody. Yeah, I've got a half air. And rather than make sweet, sweet love to a watermelon, I thought I would chat with you guys. Of course, if you're on my OnlyFans channel, you'll see both at the same time, but Seth Speed is too fast, the live stream. Oh, tuning in from Barcelona this week. Oh, that is a lovely town because it just reminds me of Monsignor Moseret Caballé and Freddie Mercury. An album, The Golden Boy. Go listen to The Golden Boy by Freddie Mercury and the opera singer. It's great. Really enjoyed the artificial intelligence intro. Yeah, so for subscribers, I just released my introduction to the philosophy of artificial intelligence. It's just great to, you know, here's the thing. So most people get, that's the wild thing about philosophy. Like most people get like 15 years of peak creativity. I honestly feel like I'm still just getting started. I mean, the world is changing. My ideas are changing. My thing, my capacity to express them is still, I'm still working on improving on it. I really feel like I'm still a babe in the woods, a novice when it comes to understanding the world, applying arguments. So yeah, I just did the introduction to artificial intelligence, which you can get at freedomain.locals.com. Just sign up. And you know, you can try it for a month. Cancel if you don't like it. It's no biggie. So you can give it a try. And I hope that you will. I also wanted to say, by the way, I also wanted to say thank you to the those of you who on this gorgeous, glorious Locals platform, for those of you who've been tipping me with coins. Obviously, live tips are fine as well. You can tip me here if you want. But if you've been tipping me with coins, that helps. I really, really appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. All right. If you have questions, hit them in. Or... let's see, do you think your creativity in the tech world would have lasted as long as your creativity in philosophy has? I don't think so. I don't think so. See, here's the problem with the tech world, right? I hope that you understand that I'm self-critical and I know where my strengths and weaknesses are. I was a fine programmer, man. I was really good because of the creativity as well. I wrote code to change code. I wrote code to alter databases and alter interfaces and so on. Customers could design their own database, and then it would propagate all the changes throughout the tables, the queries, the forms, the reports, all the way through to the web interface, including dropdowns, and oh, it was just great. It was just really, really great. So I was very good at that. But the problem is, if you're a good programmer and you're good at talking to people, and I remember going out to a client meeting, and the clients were just enraged because the salesperson had said something that hadn't been communicated to the tech team. And the client was enraged. You know, I'm pretty good at negotiating, very good at smoothing waters and listening and all of that. So because I was very good at that and very good at managing people, I got less and less into the creative stuff of programming and more into management and sales. And I ended my career in the marketing world. Because if you have tech skills and business skills, you know, quotas notwithstanding, you're kind of unbeatable. So... in this way, I really, really do get to do the wildest stuff and all of that. So, all right, let's see here. How can a single father ensure his daughters are being safe on the internet? He has no idea their activities and sites, wants to respect their privacy, feels like a bad dad. Well, you can, in a lot of routers, you can set up parental controls on searches and what is allowed to go through the router, and you can set it up by device. But yeah, talk to them about the bad stuff that's on the internet, because if you don't, I mean, their friends are going to anyway, or their quote friends are going to do that anyway. So yeah, I would look at parental controls as one thing, and just good conversations about things as well, right? Any advice for how to pursue artistic endeavors like acting or comedy, despite the community's general extreme left-leaning? I'm trying to add artistic outlets to my life, and this has been an issue everywhere. It's not just creating, but getting better in groups with peers, right? So you have to, you just have to do start to end. Like, you have to do start to end. It's the only way to do it. So when I, you know, I got as sick of theater school as they got of me. And so I left. I'd written a play called Seduction, which was based on a novel by Turgenev, a 19th century Russia writer called Fathers and Sons. It was one of my first, like, okay, I could really write. Like, it's, I had novels before that, but this was the first play where I'm like, okay, I really got this down. And what did I do? Well, I worked at a restaurant, and I hired actors, and I rehearsed everyone, and I ran the play. And, I mean, I didn't make a lot of money from it, really, but it was a great experience. I remember having to fire a guy who, you know, some people give great auditions and then just can't act. I don't know. It's like some weird thing, like multiple personality disorder. Like, so I remember firing the guy. You know, I was all of 20 or whatever, 21. I had to fire this guy who was in his 50s. It was like, I remember him screaming at me in the theater, like, you owe me for every hour I spent on this play. And he's just raging at me. It's like, I was actually going to say, though I didn't. I was just about to say, you know, if you'd brought this kind of passion to the role, I wouldn't have to fire you. But I thought that might not be particularly wise. But no, it's a great, so you just have to do it. With novels, of course, you can write start to end and publish on the web. You don't need to rely on other people. You can do comedy, and you can just have to show no fear. Like, showing no fear will disarm a lot of people. It's a weird kind of thing. If you show fear, it's blood in the water. If you don't show fear, then most people will just part and let you go by. So, why do right-leaning people think they can co-opt the left's tactics to help their causes? Example, oh, you had a child talk about climate change at a town hall. Well, we're going to have a viral video of a child saying he doesn't like gender pronouns. All they do is validate the left's tactic of legitimizing the, sorry, that flipped past here, the authority of children, because now they can have a child to make a speech about how he likes gender programs. Game over. Yeah, I mean, this is why I don't really do politics. I mean, the die is cast, you know, the die is cast. So, I mean, if you look at the amount of the massive increase in sexual abuse as the result of fathers being out of the home has resulted in a very distorted and twisted culture, to put it mildly, an evil culture in many ways. And you can't, I mean, there's no words, there's no argument or philosophy that can undo that, to my knowledge. So things just going to have to play out. So are there intellectuals, academics, or other living philosophers that you listen to help strengthen your views or arguments? Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's as far as, I mean, I'll just listen to anyone, man. I'll just listen to just about, I mean, Naomi Wolf's arguments about the vaccine and its effects on pregnant women. There's much I dislike about Naomi Wolf, but she's very good on that kind of stuff. I used to listen to some Scott Adams. He had some interesting stuff to say, but I find his personality, well, doesn't have to get into it, but, you know, I don't listen to him as much anymore. Yeah, I mean, this, I just will go through a bunch of people. Thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's just some people I'll go through and I'll listen. Who's that bald guy in England who's constantly dancing on the razor's edge of YouTube bans with his talk about COVID? John someone or other, I think he is. He's also very, very good. Somebody says here, the single dad and his girls are using phones. How can he work with this? Searching their histories, parental controls on phones. Yes, so if you buy a phone for your kids, you own the phone, right? So you just say to the kids that I can see everything. And you make sure you know their logins and so on. But you can also do parental controls on phones as well. You can buy apps that will restrict what kids can see on the phones. But of course, my big question is, why do they even need a phone? Why do they need a phone? I mean, you can have a tablet that's attached to Wi-Fi that you can chat with just about anyone. I mean, you can get Skype, you can text straight to SMS. If you have other kids who have phones, you can get them on a variety of messaging platforms and so on. So, because once they're going through your router, then you have control. I guess once they're going through cell phone towers, your control is minimized. But why do they need phones? In fact, what you can do is you can get a phone without a SIM card. And you could just, you need a SIM card to get voice over Wi-Fi, like dialing your phone over the Wi-Fi. But I would say, why do they need a phone? If you're out and about and occasionally they need data, then you can just set up a Wi-Fi hotspot and have them go from there. Why do they need a phone? Or just get them a phone without a data plan, right? Get them a phone without a data plan, and then the only thing that they can do is they can call, but they can't search. They can't browse, right? So they can just call. So you just get them an emergency, like a phone just for emergencies or whatever. So I would say you can get... Oh, John Campbell, that's right. He just got banned from YouTube for a week. He's like this this benevolent, wise uncle, and watching him slowly get red-pilled over the course of a year or two has been pretty wild. So here's the thing, too. Like, if your kid's out with friends, one of them's going to have a phone. So if there's some emergency, the friend can call. I mean, you're not going to drop your kid off alone in some dangerous area when they're 12, right? So why do they need a phone? I don't know. I mean, it's a big question. So, greetings from the province to the west of the open air prison. Ah, to the west. So we got Manitoba, we got Saskatchewan, we got Alberta, we got BC, and I'm sure one or two others that I am forgetting. Manitoba and Saskatchewan, I did actually spend some time in when I was gold panning and prospecting. Beautiful, beautiful places. Fair point. I'm just thinking of children in schools in bad situations. What? In schools? What are you talking about? You're putting your kids in brainwashing indoctrination camps and you're concerned about whether they can dial 911? I think you might want to reorganize your priorities just a little bit when it comes to keeping your kids safe. It's not a good environment for kids. So, yeah, sometimes you just need to shake up and completely reorient your danger sensors or your danger priorities. Not a government school, by the way. So, I mean, maybe that's marginally better, but don't they still have to follow the government curricula? Don't the teachers in the private schools, aren't they still taught by the government licensing boards, and they still have to do all of that crap? I'm telling you, I personally would not send a kid to school where it was female teachers for the most part. Or male teachers for that matter. I would just meet her, right? All phones can dial 911. You don't need a smartphone or plans. By law, it's hardwired. Yeah, yeah. I feel so demoralized with life in this world. Yeah. Somebody's saying it's a Christian school. We'll get to the demoralization. It's a Christian school. And so why would you think that anything bad could happen if it's a Christian school? Right. Here's the thing. Your kids may want a phone. So what? You know, little kids want to live on candy. You don't let them do that either. Right. So I feel so demoralized with life and this world. Right. Please be precise. And I know when you're demoralized, you're not particularly precise. So I understand that. Here we go. You are not demoralized with life. And you are not demoralized with people. You are not demoralized with life, and you are not demoralized with people. You are not demoralized with life, and you're not demoralized with the world. Life can't demoralize you because life is simply continuing to exist. That can't be demoralizing. And the world, what's wrong with the world? The world's a beautiful place. You see sunsets, you see leaves of green and trees of gold in the fall, and you see ice and... You know, I've often thought, you know, I'm driving along and I see these beautiful clouds and the sky. And just imagine if this planet was like the Disney World of the universe. That this planet with the sun and the moon the same size, you've got eclipses, you've got shooting stars, you've got these clouds and sunsets. And maybe this is the place where everyone in the universe would come to view the beauty of it if they could. Maybe this is just the absolute Bali paradise of the universe. I often think that that is the case when I'm looking. I love nature. I love hiking. I love drinking in non-straight lines, you know, like the curve of my forehead. I just love all of that stuff. And it's pretty hard sitting on at the top of a low mountain after a nice hike, watching a sunset with your family. It's pretty hard to say, boy, this world sucks. No, the world is beautiful and life is beautiful. You're not demoralized with the life and this world. Not at all. Life is a great gift, and the world is a staggeringly beautiful place outside of cities. You know what you're demoralized with? The assholes around you. You're not demoralized with life. You're not demoralized with the world. The assholes around you are wearing you down. Do you have social anxiety disorder or SAD? No, you probably have asshole proximity disorder or APD. APD, easy as 1, 2, 3. you're worn down by the people around you. Like people around you, I'm telling you, friends, they lift you up or they pull you down. That's it. That's all there is. They lift you up or they pull you down. There's nothing in the middle. There's no neutral. There's nothing like that. They're lifting you up or they're pulling you down. And you're either lifting them up or you're pulling them down. So you're not demoralized with life in this world. You're surrounded by people who are weighing you down. And look, maybe those people are more distant, but you invite them into your life through social media, through whatever it is, right? And then, oh, that's like they're right in front of you. But the world is beautiful, man. Life is beautiful, wonderful, magnificent adventure. A lot of people are fucking toxic. A lot of people are slow acid corrosion. They numb your nerve endings and then slowly chew up the flesh you can't see until you just fall apart. People are predatory, man. The world is beautiful. Life is beautiful. People can be just unbelievable predators. All right, let's see here. Yeah, nature is so healing. We all get to experience the gorgeous painting of the sunset and sunrise pretty much every day. Well, it's been a while since I've seen a sunrise, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I've been listening for a long time and it's helpful, but it seems like people's problems have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. I'm going to be different to anyone else here. Wait, who's that? Is that the guy with the school thing? No, it's not. So I don't know what you're saying here. It's interesting. I just want to make sure I'm knowing. I don't know how to find this person's... I don't think I could really... I've been listening for a long time. It's interesting what you're saying here, and I want to make sure I understand it. Is this a demoralized guy? Let's see here. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't find it. Let's see here. I feel like no future. Yes, but it feels like everyone takes advantage of each other in an unnatural way for small things that don't even matter. Everyone? Okay. So what you're saying here, my friend, is that the people in this chat and me are going to take advantage of you in an unnatural way for small things that don't even matter. Right? So you said everyone. Everyone takes advantage of each other. Do you take advantage of each other? Am I taking advantage of you? Are other people in this chat taking advantage of you? I'm just going to... No, I didn't mean everyone in the literal sense. I'm sorry. No, no need to apologize. But it's an important thing. Here's the thing. So the way that people manipulate you is they pretend that they are more than they are, that they're a legion than they are. Like, so, you know, when I was on social media, and it even occasionally happens on these platforms, people will say, you know, we're all sick and tired of this about you, Steph, right? And it's like one guy, right? We like urine. We like French. Yes, we. It's not we. But somebody who's an insecure bully will attempt to multiply themselves to give you the instinctual urge to bow down before a collective, to bow down before a mob, right? If one guy's coming at you, maybe you can fight him off, but if, you know, 20 guys are coming at you, not so much, right? So people multiply themselves in the same way that, you know, cats, you know, they hiss and they puff up their fur. So people multiply themselves in order to grind you down, to make you believe that there's more than they are. It's a very, very common tactic in war, right? On my social media 4, I showed how they had these inflatable tanks and trucks, like, to make them look like they were more than they are. It's a very common thing. So people will inflate themselves to prey upon you, to have you bow down as if they're more than they are. So when you say everyone, that's implanted in you so that you don't get away from exploiters. Exploiters will give you the impression that everyone's an exploiter, so there's no point in running. Like if you were to say to someone, I'm not going to date any woman who's mortal, I'd be like, well, no, every woman is mortal, so you're just saying you're not going to date. Every woman is mortal. So when you have an everyone where it's just a couple of assholes around you, they've expanded themselves to the definition of humanity so that you don't get away. I don't spend every day fighting to escape gravity, I guess by eating less or whatever, right? But I don't spend every day fighting to escape gravity, right? Because I can't escape gravity. However, I don't have assholes in my life because you can't escape assholes. You can't escape gravity, you can't escape assholes. But assholes will try to get you to feel that either you bring it on, you bring on their being assholes, which means everywhere you go, you're just going to summon more assholes and you're never going to get away from the assholes and it's going to be like gay porn, Enter the Dragon, Broken Mirror, Reflections, Funhouse, crap all around you, right? So you get everyone because there are people around you who've somehow said, either you bring it out in me and you'll bring it out in everyone, which means you can't escape it, or everyone is like us and therefore if you run away, it's going to be same shit, different pile. You can't get away, right? So they've just taken themselves and they have stretched themselves to infinity so you can't get away. They've tried to turn their own screwed up personalities into a law of nature or a force of nature or physics or something like that so that it would be crazy. Like every human being exploits every other human being. You'd be crazy to not want to be, like to think that there's a non-exploitive relationship. That's just so they can keep exploiting you, right? They're wrong. Probably everyone has felt that they were being taken advantage of at some times in life. Sure. Sure, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you have come here hoping to get some nuggets of wisdom. I am live streaming hoping to deliver some nuggets of wisdom, get a couple of bucks, and provide value to the community. So we're, in a sense, taking advantage of each other, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I wouldn't want a wife who was with me out of self-sacrifice. I want her to be better off by being with me. I want you guys to be better off for having listened to this show. So yes, of course. There's nothing wrong with taking advantage. My gosh, let's all take advantage of each other. Just make it mutual, that's all. Just, I want you to be better off after listening to what I'm saying. I want to be better off after saying what I'm saying. So let's absolutely take advantage of each other. Just don't make it one-sided, that's all. That's the exploitation, it's when it's one-sided. All right, let's see here. Somebody says, thank you for this, Steph. I was going to ask, why can I go from being so motivated to where nothing stands in my way, no matter the obstacle, I will find a way, to just moping around, thinking, what's the point, sleeping in, not exercising. It's a painful truth to accept, but it's the people around me. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And we all have that. We all have that. I said on Sunday, I did a show and just speech just came erupting out of me and just wiped me out. Nothing wrong. I lay on the couch listening to music, played a game of Catan with the family, chatted with a couple of people and had an early nightmare that just completely wiped me out. It was like giving birth to a vampiric chainsaw out of my armpit. So yeah, we all have that lack of energy. We all have that, oof, I'm spent or whatever it is. And that's fine. Take your rest and you get back up and all of that. And, you know, but if it sticks around too long, you need people who are going to say, dude, what's going on, right? And it's like when the news say people are concerned. Yeah, another way. Reports are that, you know. Issues have been raised. No, you the reporter, right? Let's see here. To quote Ann Landers, no one can take advantage of you without your permission. Well, I mean, Ann Landers, like most women, don't have any sense of politics. No one can take advantage of you without your permission. Try telling that to the people getting drafted in the Russia-Ukraine war. So, yeah, I mean, she's talking. Of course people can take advantage of you without your permission. I mean, that's a good chunk of life in the political realm, right? But in your personal life, you have choices, right? My girlfriend, who was at her family, tweeted about getting sick, throwing up, and getting a fever, but didn't tell me, and I found out from her tweet. I'm very uncomfortable about finding out this way. Advice. What the hell? My girlfriend, who was at her family's, tweeted about getting sick, throwing up, and getting a fever, but didn't tell me. I found out from her tweet. It's like the Modern Woman archives guy. Like, I don't know why it is that women feel the need to tweet everything. Here's my brunch. I just went on a date. Let me. It's this. Why is your personal life? I mean, I do it a little bit. I mean, occasionally, every couple of months, if I have a really great meal, I'll post a picture. But I don't know. I'm unwell. Therefore, I'm going to tweet about it. And I'm going to tweet about it. I'm going to tell the world before I tell my boyfriend. Yeah, I don't know. There is something about this women and oversharing on the internet. It's pretty wild. You know, I did on one of my social media reviews, there was this woman who talked about her husband cheating on her, and now everyone's trying to get her husband fired. And it's like, don't, man, don't talk about your personal stuff like that. Again, if I'm a public figure and I talk about how philosophy can help you with your personal life. So that, you know, there's some of that. That's part of the gig and all of that, and that's fine. But it seemed weird to me that she would tweet about it, because it means she's going to strangers' comfort before she's coming to you. You have every right to be uncomfortable about that, my friend. And I would assume that this is a woman who is unable to settle down because she's constantly chasing the dopamine of other people's clicks and likes. Reminds me of when I got angry with my mother and she said, I need to take responsibility, but when she got mad at me, it was my fault for making her mad. Yes, that's a standard. That's gaslighting manipulation 101. You have to take responsibility for everything that you do, but everything that I do is your fault. Yeah, that's you can't reach someone like that. Thank goodness for the sneeze shield. All right, this new mute button. What do we got here? Oh, wow, lots of jets. All right, maybe I got another few minutes. All right. Mutually beneficial exchanges rock. Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Thank you for the flash live stream, Steph. Shall I flash you? Flash. I'm at work listening and your relationship advice is helping me so much. I feel like a blind man who's now had their sight restored. I appreciate that. The electrician getting paid to wire your house is compensated for you to take advantage of their education and training. They take advantage of whatever skills you get, or whatever skill gets you paid. Yeah, for sure. I know a man who does that, posting everything online but not talking much in person. Yes, the curse of the small and the stars, as the old Fafford and the Grey Master story goes. The more you connect with abstract people, the less you connect with real people. I've always tried to keep these conversations like I'm talking to a person, like I'm talking to a friend, to connect and connect with people as much as possible. Because the more you connect with abstract internet people, like likes and shares and comments and all of that, usually the less able you're able to connect with real people, which is why I assume that the girl who's posting about everything is unable to commit to a real person. Like, if you eat bad food, you are too full to eat good food, right? If you have a big meal of junk food, you can't exactly have a steak and salad, right? Because you're already full. So if you're full of positive, stupid, non-existent feedback from people you'll never meet, then actually trying to gain the approval and love of the people in your life, you're already full. You've got your, and then because, and it's a vicious circle, right? The more you go for external validation, the less you get validation from the people around you, and therefore the more you need to go for external validation, and the less, right? And it ends up with fistfuls of antidepressants in your 50s. All right. It's a restricted account, so only like a few dozen people follow her, but she doesn't know any of them in person. Excellent. Well, she may get to know them in person when she's looking for a new boyfriend. All right. Thank you again for the tip. I appreciate that. And, you know, if you want to train me to do flash live streams, a couple of tips wouldn't kill. I would be wondering why she didn't say something to me first. Well, that's important, right? It's a priority. Now, she could say, of course, well, I mean, you follow me on Twitter, so it was just my way of telling everyone at the same time. Sure. Steph, what are your thoughts on the ever-increasing mass of adults with debilitating conditions like autism? I have observed that the parents of these unfortunates somehow expect society at large to adapt to and provide a place for these people. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it's just completely mental. I didn't know anyone when I was a kid. I didn't know anyone with peanut allergies. I didn't know anyone with autism. I didn't know anyone with learning disabilities, other than people with obvious, like there was a guy in my, oh, it was a chilling story, man. There was a guy in my boarding school, really great soccer player, smart guy. And he just tried to do a flip on the edge of the pool, cracked his head, was underwater for too long, and just had a stroke and was just done. I mean, he didn't die, but he was just mentally and physically just done. It was just, I mean, it was just horrible. I didn't know people with ADHD. I didn't know people with any of this stuff. So I don't know what is I don't know what is causing it. I mean, obviously, there's lots of theories out there about what is. I mean, some of it is increased diagnosis, but I don't think that's true. I don't think it's just increased diagnosis. So what in general for these kinds of problems as a whole, or these kinds of challenges as a whole? I'll just give you my way of thinking about it, which is I look at the financial incentives, right? Are people making a lot of money from these dysfunctions? Are people making a lot of money from these dysfunctions? Now, if people are making a lot of money from these dysfunctions, and it's always from the government, right? So if people are making a lot of money from these dysfunctions, then I know that the true origins of these dysfunctions will never be clear. This is a basic fact of life that I work with. So if people, like, if a kid in America, I think it is, if a kid gets diagnosed with a learning disorder, or ADHD or something like that, then sometimes the parents will get additional payments in Social Security or disability or something like that. And of course, the doctors get to prescribe stuff, and it's all paid for by the state. And so what happens then is you have, you know, parents who have an incentive, teachers get the kids drugged, and so their teaching becomes easier. The principals have fewer issues to deal with. They don't have to reform the crappy schools. The doctors get paid. So it's all in this communist, fascist crap of forced money, right? And, I mean, it's hundreds of billions of dollars across the world every year. Now, what that means is that there's hundreds of billions of dollars of incentive to keep it going. So if hundreds of billions of dollars are paid out of the public purse for disorder X, right, whatever disorder X is, if hundreds of billions of dollars are paid, or hundreds of millions, or tens of billions, or billions, whatever, huge amount of money is paid, then almost immediately, amoral people will form to profit from that, right? They will form to profit from that. Now, when they form to profit from that, they create a massive lobby group to keep it going. And then what happens is anybody who says disorder X is not caused by what you think it's caused, and it's not treated by what you think treats it, it's instead pre-existing ABC. Pre-existing ABC causes condition X. Well, let's say you'll never find out whether condition ABC actually does do that, because they'll propose this, and then because there's hundreds of millions or billions or tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars invested in condition X, everybody who's profiting from that will fund endless studies debunking the association that's made, right? And you and I will not be able to decipher any of this stuff. Right, so the moment the government money is involved, a market almost immediately forms with amoral people just like money, money, money. They get their money. So the moment a government market forms, people will cluster to profit from that. And then anybody who threatens that will be immediately attacked by well-funded unions, groups, corporations. They will be attacked. They will be deplatformed. They will be harmed. They will be, yeah, because you're quote, burning the crops, so to speak, of what people are living on, right? So you'll never know. You'll never know because you don't know what's compromised, you don't know what's bribed, you don't know what's special interest. You don't know any of these things, right? So when it comes to, like, well, gosh, what could be causing autism? My assumption is I'll never know. that say somebody figures out what causes autism. So they'll propose that, and then they will be attacked. They will be, and then all of their colleagues will be forced to denounce them. And because, you know, there's just too much money at play, and people don't reason themselves out of an upper middle class income. So I'll never know. Now, maybe in the fullness of time, Minister, right? In the fullness of time, down the road, when the money's all dried up or something has changed, they'll look back and they'll say, oh, well, yes, this was the cause, right? This was the cause. And because there's no particular special interest at play anymore, you can actually look at the facts. But in the moment when massive amounts of money are sloshing around, you can't get the truth. I don't even look. Honestly, I don't, like, because people are like, oh, I know for absolute certain it's this. It's like, well, maybe I can certainly see the studies that do that. And, like, you know, when it came to the vaccine, like the COVID thing, I was like, okay, there's way too much money in play for the money not to completely distort the science. It's the same thing with global warming, right? There's way too much money at play. Science is not objective. Science is not a law of physics, right? Science follows the money. People respond to incentives, basic principle of economics. So just the moment the government starts funding stuff, I just know the causality will never be rationally or objectively established. Because I can't evaluate, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a statistician, and also you often can't even get a hold of the raw data. And even if you can get a hold of the raw data, the design of the experiment has a lot to do with the kind of data you get out of it. And I'm not going to dig into the raw data anyway. I have philosophy to do, not math. But the philosophy says, no, you don't. It's a hole with no bottom. There's way too much money at stake. It's like if your grandmother is dying and she's got $100 million to hand out, it's like saying, well, what's the objective truth about the grandmother's personality or character or virtues or vices? There's too much money at play. You're never going to find out. It's too much money at play. You have to wait, and it's probably going to be long after I'm dead, maybe long after you're dead too. You're just going to have to wait. But society's going to have to wait until the incentives are no longer there, distorting the living shit out of everything that everyone is saying. All right. And people go down these rabbit holes and they think, oh my gosh, I've got the truth. Maybe you do. I can't evaluate it. I doubt most people can. And you get stuff which says, autism is just, it's just new diagnosis. That's the only thing. It's like, maybe. But the people who are saying that are getting paid a massive amount of money because there's autism. So I can't take what they say objectively. And other people are like, well, no, it's X, Y, and Z, whatever, right? It's like, maybe. But then you get all these counter studies, right? And now, of course, you can see now that the COVID stuff is beginning to recede or is receding, then you're starting to see, there is a double-blind study on ivermectin. Like, stuff starts to come out when the money is no longer there. But while the money is flowing around, forget it. I don't assume that there's any real truth or I tend to have a little bit more sympathy for those going against the grain. But, all right, let's do another couple of minutes. Great chat. Hey, Stefan, for the past 2 years, I've been having nightmares about me being back with my abusive parents. Do these dreams mean anything? Yeah, dreams always mean something. Thank you for the tip. Not so much for the last one, but the other ones. Do these dreams mean anything? Yes, it means that there is some relationship around you that is mirroring your abusive parents. It means that there's some relationship around you, in my view, I could be wrong, it just means that there's some relationship around you that is growing into or is manifesting as, it could be a boss, could be a girlfriend or boyfriend, it could be a co-worker, it could be a friend, or maybe no one, but if your nightmares are saying that you are not free of abuse, now again, assuming that you're not in contact with your still abusive parents, then it's going to be somebody else that your dreams are warning you about. I recently learned that 52% of women said they owned a vibrator. this really surprised me. I knew it was a top-selling sex product, but I never realized this many women use them. Should women have a no-fat movement like men do? LOL. Let me keep making that joke. 52% of women, 4,000 sample size women, 18 to 60, said they owned a vibrator. It's odd to me because women can usually find a sexual partner, and why not just tell them what you like? I'm sure that would be better than a vibrator. So, all right, so let's see here. I'm differently wired in the brain box. Look, I don't demand that society accommodate itself to my level of intelligence and insight. I just recognize that I'm a pretty wide outlier, and society is, you know, if you're 7 feet tall, you don't ask that society be rewritten for you, right? Just recognize that there's costs and benefits, right? Could a lot of these symptoms of ADHD, autism, and learning disabilities, childhood trauma mixed with an overwhelming amount of coddling? Well, I saw an interview with Gabor Maté. Dr. Gabor Maté has been on the show a couple of times back in the day, and Dr. Maté is saying that ADHD is children, particularly boys, being locked in and slowly going insane in a hyper-girly environment. Boys should be out. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, man, I would be playing until I could barely lift my legs. I'd be playing until to the state of exhaustion, complete exhaustion, and that would be wonderful. And then I'd go out and do it again the next day. So sitting around just drives me quite mad, quite crazy. All right. Yeah, I don't think that the vibrators are going to help the women pay for their retirement. At least I can't imagine, right? So, all right. Any last questions? Any last support donations? So much policy is geared towards putting restraints on little boys' needs for physical activity. Oh yeah, look. Again, a lot of overlap between boys and girls, but boys in general learn a lot more by doing and acting. Think of our evolution, what were boys doing? They were doing fighting, hunting, gathering, farming, all physical labor, all requiring significant manual dexterity, cooperation, and teamwork, which is why boys want to play war and sports, right? That's what boys want to do. We want to play war and sports. So locking boys in, it's a lot to do with women's fear of injury. Women are hypochondriacs by proxy in general. Because remember, women are designed to spend most of their life dealing with babies and toddlers. Right? They have a string of kids, they're dealing with babies and toddlers, and there's this conveyor belt that delivers the babies and toddlers at the age of seven to men to train them into adulthood, and then they have more babies and toddlers, and then by the time they're done with their babies and toddlers, their first baby and toddlers are grown up, and now they're grandmothers, and what are they doing? They're dealing with babies and toddlers again. This is why women infantilize society so relentlessly, because they're used to dealing with babies and toddlers. It's a beautiful part of womanhood. This is in no way a criticism, no way a negative. It's a beautiful part of womanhood. It's why we're all alive. No problem with it whatsoever. Human nature, beautiful. Male nature, female nature, beautiful. Human nature plus state, rancid pile of Herculean shitstorms. That's right. You combine anything with violent power, like lovemaking, beautiful. Sex plus violence is rape, viciously ugly, right? Boxing, physical combat sports, beautiful, wonderful in many ways. If it's assault, then it's ugly and violent and evil. So you take anything and you add the initiation of the use of force into it, it turns rancid, vile, and hideous, demonic, and hellish. So women are constantly terrified that people are going to injure themselves, right? I mean, some months ago, I was playing pickleball with my wife and I were playing pickleball with another couple, and we'd switched partners, and there was a ball like 12 feet away from the pickleball court, and the woman I was playing with said to the man, "Look out for the ball." And I'm like, "Oh, that is such a mom thing." You know, there's a ball in the vicinity. Like, I get if it's right near your feet, you don't want to trip over it or whatever, right? But this was like, so this constant scanning for danger and keeping people safe, that's what you have to do around toddlers. Toddlers are intergalactic death magnets. right? They constantly wanted to put things in their mouth. They're constantly wandering to stairs and cliff edges and face planting into puddles. And like, it's just, they're just death magnets. And you absolutely have to be in a perpetual state of low-grade paranoia around toddlers. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. You combine that with political power. And, you know, when a man sees a great playground, we get very excited and want to climb to the very top, right? When women see a great playground, they imagine a kid falling face down and breaking his neck and spending the rest of his life in a wheelchair, being unable to write his name. And it happens, but you can't live life that way. I mean, this safety over freedom, security over liberty is really become wildly pathological and insanely destructive. So the female administrators, the teachers and so on, they want to keep the boys inside so the boys don't get injured. Of course, then the boys do get injured in their brains and in their capacity to focus and reason, and they slowly go insane. Insane. I got a school suspension in high school in 1996 for saying the word vibrator during lunch. Nowadays, it's probably encouraged. Oh, God. Oh, the stuff that's in school these days is just unbelievably hideous. a friend of mine, he'd recently come over from England, and I remember he had a Dungeons and Dragons character called Narab, the Arab. But he was in science class, and they were talking about what the definition of life was. And he said, I don't know, bacteria, are they just another living orgasm? Because, of course, you meant to say organism. Orgasm is close. I mean, and of course, orgasms do produce organisms, so all right. All right, last question or two. Thank you for dropping by today. Boy, if we could break a little more tip, I would be perfectly thrilled. My baby and toddler are very active. Lots of safe ways to let them do everything they want to do. Yes, for sure, for sure. Crazy cat lady syndrome, free-floating need to nurture and no children, grandchildren, etc. to pass it on to. No, no, no. Crazy cat ladies do not want to nurture. No, 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 no. They don't want to nurture. Motherhood is not about nurturing. Motherhood is about protection. Because protection seems to be more particular to mothers than to fathers, whereas both mothers and fathers can nurture. So no, it's not nurturing. Nurturing doesn't cause anxiety, right? It's a fear of the children's injury. It's living in a low-grade state of there's a predator called physics that's about to decapitate your babies. So it's a state of anxiety. And of course, I was reading how if a woman is on the birth control pill, her body exhibits the same stress responses as people with ADHD. And of course, I was just on the weekend talking about, was it a weekend or yesterday, talking about how this toxoplasmosis, if a woman gets infected with toxoplasmosis, this sort of cat litter infection that she prefers dangerous sex and bondage and S&M and so on to regular sex. All right, last question or two, and then I really must boogie. Oh, I've gone over. All right, I should probably stop here. Thank you for that. Due to my addiction to, my beautiful then girlfriend got insanely angry, unable to perform, kicked me out of the bedroom. Yeah. All right, well, thanks everyone so much. Just a great, great pleasure to chat with you guys. It was just absolutely delightful to drop by with you this afternoon. Thank you so much. Also, to the person who you've got the dream about your parents, I love me a good dream analysis. So if you want to call in, I'm perfectly thrilled to take your call. You can call in at freedomain.com, and we can set it up and we can dig into the dream. I do love me a good dream analysis, and it's been a while. And the last one that I did, actually, the guy ended up revealing that he'd accidentally set fire to a house that burned his family to death. So that was quite an intense dream analysis. All right. Thanks, everyone, so much. A glorious afternoon. I will talk to you guys tomorrow night. And lots of love from up here. Mwah. Take care. Bye.